Hello and welcome to the first edition of our new Marine Times This Island Nation weekly podcast, Tom McSweeney reporting. This podcast combines features from the programme and news reports about the maritime sector. If you'd like to listen to the full programme, it can be heard on Mixcloud. On this month's edition of the Marine Times for the month of August, there are photographs of the Slyling family of Ballycotton on the East Cork coastline, presenting the medals won by their grandfather to the Cork Public Museum. He was Patrick, known locally in the village and surrounding area as Patsy, the coxswain who led the Ballycotton lifeboat on the most famous rescue in Irish lifeboat history. This is the story from This Island Nation programme, starting with the voice of that coxswain, Patsy Sliney, describing the rescue.
On the night of the 11th of February, 1936, we had a terrible storm here in Ballycotton. So we steamed out, close to the lightship. In the meantime, the Ausalda was after coming on the scene. While we were on passage out, the foremost of the two red lights was blown out. So I says, if the other one goes, we won't be able to find the lightship, not a mind, nothing else. The skipper of the Ausalda seen that just as well as us. I said to him, what about taking them off? So he said, right, carry on. So we watched the chance and we came along and two of them jumped straight away, came around again, and got no one the next time. So on the third occasion, we got two. And the next time then we met two, there was two of the crew then, and they other didn't go. So I ordered some of our own crew to go forward and to take us from and haul them aboard.
That's the voice of Patsy Sliney, who was coxswain of the Ballycotton lifeboat Mary Stanford, led his crew to the rescue of the crew aboard the lightship Comet of Cork Harbour in February of 1936. There were eight lightkeepers aboard the vessel when it broke from its mooring, where it warned ships of the dangers of the Daunt Rock near the entrance to the harbour. But in what began as a southeasterly gale, with rain and driven snow, and then developed into what were described as hurricane winds, the crew of the lightship were themselves in grave danger. A number of ships were on the scene, standing by to help, but could not get close to the lightship because of the dangers to their own vessels. The Mary Stanford made six separate approach attempts to effect the rescue, interspersed only with a short break to refuel and get some food at Cove. The lifeboat crew suffered themselves from the effects of the sea and weather, but got all eight lightkeepers safely off the Comet. They were on continuous service for 49 hours. It's still regarded as the most famous rescue in Irish lifeboat history and is commemorated on an Irish postage stamp. The Mary Stanford was the Ballycotton lifeboat from 1930 to 1959. After her withdrawal from service by the RNLI, she lay for some years in Dublin's Grand Canal dock, until a campaign by the people of Ballycotton succeeded in having the lifeboat returned to the East Cork village, where it's now on permanent display.
Justin Marr telling the story of the Daunt Rock lightship rescue. The family of Patsy Sliney, the RNLI coxswain who led the Ballycotton lifeboat in that famous rescue, have presented the medals with which he was awarded for the rescue to Cork City Museum. The family is still active in the village lifeboat station, and Colm Sliney served on the lifeboat crew for many years. He was also one of those who led the campaign for the return of the lifeboat involved in the rescue, the Mary Stanford, to Ballycotton. At the handover of the medals, he told me that the family hoped that by doing so, the story of the rescue would be a piece of maritime history known to future generations.
That's right, yeah. The medals there that Patsy Sliney got in his time at the lifeboat have been handed over today to the museum here in Cork. And the gold, the bronze and the silver medals will eventually be going on display here.
They're particularly historic because the boat itself, the Mary Stanford, was even awarded a medal.
That's right, the Mary Stanford is supposed to be one of the only boats that was awarded a gold medal, which is down on display on the lifeboat house in Ballycotton.
The lifeboat itself is back in Ballycotton being displayed as well?
The lifeboat is back in Ballycotton after a long struggle, after a lot of years and a lot of fundraising. We eventually have the actual lifeboat on display in Ballycotton. And for the Heritage Week, or the Heritage Day on the 18th of August, we're going to be there just answering questions or whatever. We also hope to have some of the relatives of the crew of the Daunt Rock there.
It's a great tradition for your family, very proud of it, and still Sliney people have
been involved and are still involved with the lifeboat?
That's right, yeah, they are. My son is still involved, William Sliney, who's the Marvel artist guy. He's still involved and still, he's a crew member, and he's actually moving into a new house in Ballycotton now. So at least he'll be a fixture in Ballycotton as well. I did all my life in it. I started off as crew member when my father was still there. I went from that to mechanic for 1 year, and then I got married, so I couldn't afford to stay on as mechanic at the time. I then went back as crew member and was that, and got up as far as second coxswain. The coxswain was the same age as me, so that's as far as I was going to progress. And myself and Tom, were, we had to retire that time at 55, as the year was brought down to 55. And about 6 or 7 years after, it was brought back up to 60 or 65 again. And then I became DLA of the lifeboat until I was 70, which is only the other day. So now my time is up in the lifeboats.
But not his interest, and the Sliney family are justifiably proud of their involvement with the Ballycotton lifeboat. Daniel Breen is curator of Cork Museum. Amongst the collection of medals were those awarded to Cox and Sliney for the Royal Navy Reserve during the First World War.
7 medals, and what they tell us is this man's entire life's achievements, his selfless service, both in war and during the First World War, and also for his nearly 40 years of service in the Ballycotton lifeboats. And all that can be encapsulated into 7 medals is quite unique, and we're absolutely thrilled to be getting them here in the museum, especially directly from the family. These were something that the family made a decision that they wanted them to be kept in a place that can be enjoyed, and the memory of Patrick can be kept alive, which is what I hope to do over the next few years.
Yes, they say that they want the public to know also about this great rescue, the Daunt Rock rescue.
I would hope to initially have his First World War I medals, the collection of those, on display as part of our exhibition we'll be opening to mark the end of the war later on this year. And then hopefully next year, or maybe the year after, that we'd really put effort in to make a very good exhibition that tells the story of Patrick and the service of the Ballycotton lifeboats, and especially that famous rescue in 1936 of the Daunt Rock.
The size of their eyes, that was what struck me as I looked at photos from the survey by scientists from the Marine Institute, NUI Galway and Britain, 300 miles out into the Atlantic, where new discoveries of coral were made. The photos I was looking at were posted on Twitter by Dr. Louise Alcock of NUI Galway and the Martin Ryan Institute at the NUI. Her research work has included studying octopuses and other marine creatures, and also evolution in the Southern Ocean. Those photos, taken by the Marine Institute's underwater submersible, showed a creature down at 1,400 metres depth. And Louise described it as a little bobtail and said she could not get over the size of the eyes. And now Rhoda Twombly, Secretary of the Islands Federation, Cogall Ilona Heron, tells us that there is a busy schedule of events on the islands this month.
Hello from Inishlier, and what a summer it's been so far. Temperatures soaring, water supplies shrinking, and fields hard as concrete saw water restrictions in place on several of our islands. The rain we had here in Mayo last week was welcome. It was actually quite strange to hear it hopping off the skylights, the wind and clouds creating, shall we say, a lively backdrop to the majestic Crow Patrick. There's a busy schedule of events on the islands through August. Inishturk's inaugural Wild Atlantic Sea Fest kicks off on the 17th, so there's still time to get tickets and book accommodation. The festival runs until the 19th and is jam-packed with activities from the time you leave Runaw Pier on the Friday. There's a launch party on the beach, a crab claw bar, storytelling and a disco, plus music from Don't Tell Dad. And that's only the first evening. Saturday and Sunday offer guided walks, boat trips, beach games and foraging, as well as a treasure hunt for all ages, a food fest, plus a gala seafood dinner. Not to forget music from Galwegian's Coolabula. The Inishturk Regatta is held on Sunday, followed by music and lunch in the island club. Inishturkisland.com has all the contact info you need to line up a weekend you won't forget. Staying in Mayo, Clare Island has a pile of activities organised for August, starting with their fifth annual food festival, the 11th and 12th of August. This is a boutique festival that concentrates on locally produced vegetables and native species from the sea. There is music in Sailor's Bar every weekend of the month, but Sailor's Music Festival, the 24th and 25th of August, will be that extra bit special, with the Galway group The Amazing Apples, plus guest musicians for a lively couple of days. The 6th Clare Island Film Festival is at the tail end of the month, starting on the 31st. Please check their Facebook page, Clare Island Film Festival, for titles of films to be shown. Also, McCalla Farm on Clare Island has their Connecting with Real Food course on offer. Well known for their weekend and week-long yoga retreats, McCalla Farm also specializes in the growing and preparing of organic vegetables. All information about this special weekend, plus their other offerings from yoga to mindfulness to equine communication, is on their website, mccallafarm.ie. Moving down the coast a bit, the Inishbofin Maritime Festival will take place on the weekend of August 10th. The festival will expand on the successes of the recently rejuvenated Inishbofin Corra Regatta, extending the program to include kayaking, paddleboarding, and sail dinghies. For travel and accommodation information, please see inishbofin.com. I have just enough time to mention the Bear Island Festival down in Cork. Always fun packed, this is a festival for the whole family or anyone who just loves making new friends. The list of activities is beyond long and includes theatre and photo exhibits, music and a talent show, sport, a disco and a benefit draw for the RNLI. And that's only the tip of the iceberg, as they say. Have a look at bearisland.net for a full listing. One thing's for sure, you certainly won't be bored at this festival. So it's slán for now from the islands.
Rhoda Twombly there, and so our voyage on the airways comes to a close. The usual wish of fair sailing.